Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. There was a lot of it made over the weekend. Let's get right into it. Two banks have gone under. Silicon Valley Bank and then out east Signature Bank. I put that in a little perspective, talk about the reasons why they went under, what's being done. Joe Biden and the administration and the whole government are doing a great job. Let me give you some facts, some historical facts. It is common on average for several banks a year to fail. One of the astonishing things is that no bank up till now has failed under Joe Biden's presidency in 21 and 22. That's an aberrant. That's an aberration. But nobody failed. Now there are two. Okay. Let me tell you 2008. Do you remember 2008? George W. Bush was president, and there was the terrible failures. 10% of the people were thrown out of work, and 3.8 million people lost their homes, were evicted. They lost their homes, 3.8 million. So how serious is the Silicon Valley Bank failure and the Signature Bank failure? Tell you their assets, tell you why it happened, and tell you what Joe is doing about it. The assets of Silicon Valley Bank, they had $209 billion in assets, with a B, and $175 billion in deposits. Signature Bank had $110 billion in assets and $89 billion in deposits. Silicon Valley Bank was a lender to the tech industry. That was its niche. Obviously not the only lender. To put all this in perspective, and then Signature Bank, the lender to the cryptocurrency industry. Let me give you some advice. I'm not a professional financial consultant. Don't invest in cryptocurrency. Don't invest in cryptocurrency, okay? To put all this in perspective, Morgan Chase, one of the big boys, has more than $3 trillion in assets. So while these billions are a lot of money, don't get me wrong, the failure of a couple of banks now is statistically, historically almost compelled. It's amazing that there were no failures in 2021 and 2022, the first 2 years of the Biden presidency. Now, a couple of things, and then I'm going to tell you about the history of this back into the 2008 era and the Dodd-Frank bill and what Trump did and what's got to be done in the future. Silicon Valley Bank, yeah, it lent to the tech industry, but it started to get hit when the Fed started to raise interest rates and the assets that they held, some of the bonds, lost value. And then they publicized that they had to go out and sell some assets to meet demands. It took a loss, and then there's kind of a frenzy, and everybody goes, I'm going to pull my money out. Let me tell you something. In the 1930s, there was a real problem with pulling your money out because there's no FDIC, no Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. The government, the government didn't insure your assets, and if you didn't pull them out, they could disappear. Under Roosevelt, we passed government insurance. We also passed a thing called the Glass-Steagall Act. The Glass-Steagall Act forbade banks, among other things, from essentially gambling with depositors' monies, investing in securities and so forth. They're supposed to lend money and get interest. By the 1990s, banks got greedy, and they pressured, and the Republican Party pressured Bill Clinton to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act and let them engage in certain kinds of investments, on the theory that it would increase their overall profitability. But when you let banks, in effect, go into the casino of the stock market and the securities market, start investing in assets because they want yield. They want higher returns than just depositors' deposits. You know, the interest they get from depositors. You're going to get some cowboys and you're going to get some crooks, quite a few of them, as a matter of fact. So by 2008, everybody want yield, and they were bundling mortgages and selling them as derivatives, which was an investment that even Warren Buffett said, I don't understand it, and wouldn't invest in it. In those days, you could go into a bank and be unemployed and have very little money, and they would not even demand you put much down and give you an $800,000 mortgage. That happened in Arizona to the M&I Bank, Marshall Nilsley Bank in Milwaukee, one of the great banks in the history of Milwaukee, and they went under. They got killed by these Arizona bankruptcies. Well, when it all got sorted out in 2008, when 10% of the people got thrown out of work, 3.8 million lost their homes, nobody on Wall Street, as a result of that, went to jail. Not one person. Not one person. And what they ended up doing is they almost bankrupted the country. Well, we passed the Dodd-Frank Act, and the Dodd-Frank Act did a lot of things, but one of the things, it made the banks have higher cash reserves, and it also limited some of their riskier investments, some of their cowboy conduct. Now, and it had more government oversight. From the minute it was passed, and Obama rammed it through and Biden rammed it through with the Democrats, Republicans kept chipping away, want to repeal it. There's a free market. You don't have a free market in banking in that sense, not in that sense, when your losses are insured and you can use the money to gamble in the stock market. Well, what happened was when Trump came along in 2018, he said, I want to repeal the Dodd-Frank Act. It's unbelievable. And by executive order, he loosened some of its requirements. And then the repeal went to the Senate. And the Senate, fortunately, turned it down because of all the Democrats and maybe a few Republicans. So then you fast forward to 2023, Silicon Valley Bank had to close its doors. And Signature Bank, same thing. What Biden has done and ordered Janet Yellen to do is that the FDIC will insure all deposits. So if you deposited money in that bank, and by the way, the limit is $250,000 per person, but I'm fairly sure that Biden is going for the just flat deposits. Biden will insure and pay to the depositors all the money they had. But he's not going to insure or pay investors and unsecured bondholders. Now, what does that mean? Banks, believe it or not, many of them can be sold. They have stock. They're public companies. They can be sold. You can sell their stock. You can buy their stock, and you can sell their stock. Well, you know something? If you bought stock in Silicon Valley Bank, you're out of luck, and Joe Biden is not going to give you a dime. If you're an unsecured bondholder, okay, Silicon Valley Bank borrowed money from you and gave you a bond. And they didn't give you any security. Well, the security or the assets of their depositors who have first dibs on it, you're out of luck too. And there's some crooked stuff here. Let me be very blunt. The CEO of Signature Bank sold 3.6 million of his shares he owned on February 27th. Before he disclosed the losses. There's got to be a securities fraud investigation of both these banks, quite frankly. And a little known fact, I'll give you a little known historical fact. George W. Bush, President of the United States, before he was president, before he was governor, when he was the director of a company, he was told by the insiders that the company was going to have some bad news coming up. He dumped all the stock. That's securities fraud. That's punishable by jail. SEC went after him. He hired the former retired lawyer for the SEC, and the fix was in, and he got off. So let me be blunt. Let me be very blunt. The big boys get away with some of this stuff. Biden's on top of it. Biden's doing a very good job on this. Dodd-Frank has to be strengthened. All of what Trump did to weaken it and attempting to repeal it has got to be reversed. But beyond that, it's working the way it's supposed to work. The FDIC insures depositors' deposits. They don't insure unsecured bondholders or investors in the stock. If the big boys committed securities fraud, they got to be charged. It's as simple as that. Several banks go under on average every year. 16 of them went under in Trump's 4 years of the presidency because he himself is a crook and belongs in prison. 8 of them went under even before the pandemic. He couldn't go, oh, the pandemic. The pandemic was around when Biden was there, too, and nothing went under. I've told you, how many times have I said, you cannot trust a Republican with money? Pure and simple. Will every Republican steal it? Of course not. Of course not. But are they incompetent? Are they economically illiterate by and large? Will they make sure that they're donors or that some half-baked idea that they have of the free market from the 19th century and they don't know what they're talking about? Will they spout it off in a supper club in Ladysmith? Yes, they will. Some of these people end up as governors, like Walker, who then turns over, what, a $4.5 billion commitment to a Chinese company that never did anything and blocked Intel and Oshkosh B'gosh from occupying some of the best industrial land in the state. A Republican cannot be trusted with money. They do not understand money. Not all of them are crooked. Many of them are economically illiterate. They've been mainlining these kinds of slogans from the 19th century, and they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know what they're talking about. So on Silicon Valley Bank, on Signature Bank, it happens every couple of years. They should be investigated, of course, but depositors will be made whole. We go to a break. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Get back to the lines right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Return to sender. Return to sender.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Dick.
Well, thanks for what you're saying about the president, because it's absolutely true. And then the last clown on social media talking about, oh, this is 1929 all over again, on and on and on. Give me a break. 2008, when you alluded to that earlier, Matt, I actually thought about John McCain just briefly. You know, honorable guy. But then if you recall, what did he do when that meltdown happened with the banking thing late summer of that campaign? He suspended his campaign. I mean, really? If you're president of the United States, you got to deal with the cards that are dealt you. I thought to myself, and then his other ultimate thing, picking Sarah Palin, but I was beyond him immediately when he did that with the banking thing. You don't suspend your campaign. You speak to the issue. What would you suggest here or something? But just to crawl in a hole and pretend it's not happening?
Yeah, right. That was 15 years ago. Yeah. But I mean, what's happening right now, and you're right to point to 2008, is Dodd-Frank had to be passed as a result of that. And then the Republicans spent the next decade trying to repeal it. They always do that kind of stuff. Oh, we need yield, they say. We need yield. Higher percentages on our investments. They're not your investments if your losses are socialized and your profits are privatized. They're not investments. Thanks a lot, Dick. Thanks for calling in. I want to get to another piece of Republican illiteracy, and that is this, the debt limit. I'll tell you what. It is experts, and I'm talking about economic experts, dispassionate experts, have said that they believe the Republicans may be putting us into a market crash, and that that may be what it takes to get them to raise the debt limit. Now, let me parse that for a second. Market crash. Give you an example. Give a good example. Back in 2008, in the crisis, the House, Republican-dominated, rejected a $700 billion bailout package on September 29, and the deadline was September 30. The Dow plunged 7% in one day, 7% in one day, and suddenly they got scared and they agreed to a negotiated rescue package passed a few days later. They always do this. They come out to 5 p.m. on the day of the deadline, and sometimes they do it and sometimes they don't. This is the Republican Party. The Democratic Party has never done that. It has never done that. Now, what's happening here is, the word is, that the Republican Freedom Caucus with McCarthy, because he knows they can yank his speakership if they want to, are negotiating among themselves what bills to tell Biden not to pay. I'm not kidding. What bills to tell Biden not to pay? Well, I got news for you guys. The U.S. pays all our bills, and we've always have paid our bills. Even when George Washington was president and the British were trying to strangle him and he had to raise money to pay his troops and to pay a government, we paid. And in the Civil War, when the South seceded and wouldn't send in tax dollars, Abraham Lincoln figured out a way to pay our bills. And in the 1930s, during the Depression, and then during the Second World War, when the Nazis were after us and the Japanese were after us, Franklin Roosevelt found a way to pay our bills. Here, there's no problem with paying our bills, except we have a treason caucus, and it is the Freedom Caucus in the Republican Party. It's a treason caucus. Now, we are not going to tolerate their going to Joe Biden and say, okay, you can't pay the Coast Guard for 90 days. Tell them to take out loans. Or the FBI for 90 days. That's what they did, by the way, about 12 years ago. Why don't you, not send any aid to Ukraine or Israel? And why don't you do this and do that? And these are clowns. These are treasonous clowns, Putin clowns, headed by this Scott Perry, who sought a pardon. The FBI got a search warrant to take his cell phone. The clown is on his hind legs, pretending to be a human being, pretending to direct our economy. Is that what the clown is doing? And let me tell you something else before we go to the lines. This Gallagher up in Green Bay is now saying he may run against Tammy Baldwin. And he set himself up with this China committee to look like a big shot. Let me tell you something. The Republicans have 6 of the 8 congressmen, even though they don't even get half the votes. In other words, they get 3/4 of the congressmen because of gerrymandering. Several of them are simply members of the Freedom Caucus. They are people like this Fitzgerald, Tiffany, and all that. And these kinds of people, frankly, have betrayed the United States. But Gallagher and Stile, to a lesser extent, the guy down in Janesville, are presenting as moderate Republicans. And let me tell you guys, we need a discharge petition with 6 Republican moderates to have the issue of the debt ceiling voted on by the House. The Senate already says it's fine. If Gallagher goes around pretending to be a moderate, but for instance, when there was a resolution to condemn QAnon, he abstained because he's trying to pose for holy pictures in some bizarre portion of his district. Let me tell you something else. If Gallagher and Stile, the others are unredeemable, they don't belong in Congress, quite frankly, but Gallagher and Stile, if they do not sign on to a discharge petition and let us default on our debts for the first time since George Washington, they should be run out of Congress and run out of the state, along with the other Republican congressmen that we have here in office in Wisconsin because of gerrymandering. I'm tired of talking about New York, Pennsylvania, California should be doing it. Where's Wisconsin doing it? We're going to a break. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Taking a short break. Get back to the lines right after the break. 844-967-2789. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling us from Ryan A. Wisco Paul.
Hi, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering about the GOP. They do know how to tank an economy. They have practice at it. I can't say enough about All elections are important. There's been a number of important elections in my lifetime. But this spring election, I have never seen anything for the state of Wisconsin, at least, more important than the spring election. I hope people understand that Kelly is a mega, and he is part of the problem on the Supreme Court. You have three on it right now that voted to decertify a fair and free election in this state. One of them is retiring him. We certainly do not need to replace her with another election denier. And there's many, many other things. So please, people, understand how important the Supreme Court election is. I know people are probably getting sick of me harping on it, but this is totally unbelievable. So thanks, Matt.
Yeah, I'm delighted you called in, Paul. Let me put an exclamation point again behind that. This is a race between Janet Protasiewicz, an excellent judge. I'm supporting Janet, and a lot of people are. Janet was a prosecutor with the Milwaukee County District Attorney for well over 20 years, prosecuted some of the worst crimes, murders, sexual assaults, and the rest of them, and a very tough prosecutor, and frankly, made tough recommendations on sentencing. She then became a judge, and is one of the best in Milwaukee and statewide. She'll be superb on there. There is nobody, I repeat, nobody who knows criminal law better than she does. Nobody in the state, including the faculties at the two law schools. Nobody. Secondly, this fellow Kelly also ran. He wasn't a judge. Walker plucked him out because he was a loyal Republican, put him on the Supreme Court. I mean, Wisconsin governor just doesn't put you on because there's a vacancy. He puts you on momentarily, and you got to run. He ran. He ran in 2020 and he lost to Jill Karofsky, and he lost big. People didn't like what they heard, and they still don't like what they hear. But remember one other thing about this guy. He was paid by the Republican Party just under $120,000. $120,000 to be their lawyer on ginning up the fake electors to overturn a fair election. And they want him, the Republicans, on the Supreme Court. Because then, as a Supreme Court justice, what he can do, he can simply issue a decision that the Democrat didn't win. And then therefore, what, that's okay? No, that's not okay. $120,000, 40 of it, they were paying him during his campaign. Got a check in December. I've asked on the air, hey, Kelly, are you still getting checks? Did you get a check in January or February? And if you don't win this race, do you have a sweetheart deal? We can go back in the Republican trough. If you vote for Kelly, you're voting for a Republican staffer who will not certify a Democrat for office. And you're voting for a Republican staffer who will not upset gerrymandering and order fair maps. Janet Protasiewicz has said she will order fair maps. It's really as simple as that. I love the show. I love the callers. Everybody calls in. Everybody wrings their hands about this and that. But it comes down to this. Do you really mean it? Do you want fair maps? Do you want judges who will certify whoever won the election? This is Wisconsin. This isn't a Russian election. And if you do, you vote for Janet Protasiewicz. It's going to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for going. What's your mind today, Jean?
Thank you for the great show today, Matt. I really appreciate learning the information on the banks because there's been a lot of hype going on. People are scared and that type of thing. They'll do anything to blame Biden for anything, and this is not Biden's issue. I want to bring up something really important as a female, as a woman, and who care about all the women in our state. And I'm really concerned, you know, people kind of, you know, hem-haw around the word abortion, and it's forced pregnancy that these people are pushing in our state. And there's so many instances where women can't carry babies, and some of them are really close to death in some of those states. We've heard proven fact and their personal stories. And we need protections for the women and the young girls in our state. I mean, inappropriate sexual acts on young women and kids, young girls and teenagers, high depression rates with our girls. In addition to that, in our state, they've proposed maybe, you know, some OKs for women who are raped or incest. Give me a break. Women can't always prove they are raped. How many rape kits did we have set on the goddamn shelves? In addition, when Republicans were in office, in addition to that, rape. How do you prove rape? In addition to that, a lot of women don't report it because they know they go through the horrifying mill of being, you caused it, what were you wearing on that day, and incest. There's a lot of incest with little children, and they don't tell anybody because guess what? They live with their perpetrators. Come on, guys. We need this woman judge for the sake of all the women and young girls in our state. So please get out there and vote for this female judge who cares about the women in our state. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate my time being able to bring this out because, hey, I worked with some of these little kids. This is serious crap they're pulling, and you guys need to help us, and you need to stand up against this horrifying thing that these people are putting on the females in our state. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you, Jean. Thank you, Jean. That was an unbelievably passionate and articulate statement, and I couldn't improve on that at all. And I'm, before we go to our next caller, I just want to tell you my own, how awful I felt watching the press conference of those women in Texas who are suing the state of Texas. And the one woman was unbelievably articulate and unbelievably honest. And she said, look, I had a pregnancy where they told me the baby would die and I might die of sepsis too, but they wouldn't terminate. And they wouldn't do anything for me until the heart stopped beating of the baby and I had sepsis, and then they try to cure me. Well, let me tell you something. Sepsis is an infection that can kill. I know people, and actually they're men, who have died of sepsis and get sepsis in a hospital. It can be a fatal disease. It frequently is. To tell a woman, go home and get worse. And then if you get sepsis, we can go in and treat that. You're not supposed to let them get sepsis. You're supposed to treat them before they get sepsis. But that they have the snitch law in Texas, and these doctors are very afraid that, A, somebody will rat them out for doing a, quote, abortion, end quote, and then they'll have to pay damages, and C, that attorney general down there who's a crook. You know, he's under indictment for fraud, and that indictment has been pending for 7 years. That's Texas. They're protecting him. He's the guy that sued Wisconsin because he said he didn't like the way we certified Biden. And what I would have said is, I have a real short brief for you. It's one word, 1861. You didn't like that we voted for Abraham Lincoln either. How did that work out? get out of my face. That would have been my brief, and I'm a lawyer. So that was very passionate, Gene. That was excellent. Thank you. We're going back to the lines. Tyler Billy, my friend from Madison, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tyler Billy?
Matt, I'm hoping that in addition to talking about the races that are coming up in April, I noticed this weekend that there's a number of ballot initiatives, at least where I live in Dane County, about a number of things, including gerrymandering, including the abortion statutes from ancient history, including issues about bail. And so I just hope you'll give some attention to those in the coming days and weeks and help us be educated when we step into the voting booths to vote on those. I don't know, and this would be part of the education I'd be seeking, whether any of those are binding initiatives or just advisory.
Yeah, Senator Billy, that's great. Let's parse that real quick before the break. And I'm going to put it to you, not to shock everybody, but you have several fake propositions on the ballot. One of them will be binding, and each of the counties, depending on whether they're liberal or conservative, will put their own to goose up the votes. What do I mean by that? So the one, and apparently according to Tyler Billy in Madison, and I haven't looked at all 72 counties and seen what all their initiatives are, but the one about gerrymandering and the one about abortion, if that's in Dane County, that's almost certainly limited to Dane County. It's not binding, but it's very important to get out there and vote on those initiatives. If that gets you out to vote for, also vote for Janet Protasiewicz, terrific. And I think in some communities, there are mayoral elections, there are aldermanic elections, that kind of thing, and other judicial elections. The ones that there are two statewide elections. Remember something. We have not elections, two statewide referenda. Since we have a gerrymandered legislature, Evers can't veto it when the legislature wants to put on an advisory, non-binding resolution. And one of them that they have on there is that people who want welfare should work. They put that on there to make everybody angry. People, there are work requirements right now. There's a work requirement, or at least looking for work, for unemployment comp, for instance. All they're doing is reciting what's already the law to make Republicans feel that they're going out and do something. So you can decide whatever you want to do on that. I would not vote for that. I would say it's already the law, and this is a scam from the Republican Party. The other one from the Republican Party that's not a scam is on cash bail. And that, if that becomes a constitutional amendment, it has to pass the legislature and two successive legislatures. Evers can't veto it, and it goes on. So if that's on there statewide, I believe it is, you can decide what you want to do on it. There's absolutely no constitutional amendment that any Republican that would propose that I would vote for, because I think they're up to a scam. Now, on that particular one, I don't think it goes far enough. Saying that there should be cash bail is great. There already is a requirement. However, there are some crimes for which there can be no bail. If somebody murders somebody and he has threatened to murder other people in the family, he shouldn't get any bail at all. Not cash, not nothing, nothing. He should get nothing. There are plenty of times when people threaten their former girlfriend they're going to murder her, and they get a restraining order, and then they go out and murder her anyway. The guy should get no bail, none whatsoever. If they threaten to murder witnesses or they murder a witness, they should get no bail. That particular initiative does not go far enough, and it's a scam by the Republicans. Now, so if you're in a Republican county, you may have something on there that's peculiar to your county. It is not binding elsewhere in the state, and it's a scam. Basically, the Republican Party wanted to goose you out, your vote, get you out there, so you vote for Kelly. That's the purpose of it. In the Democratic counties, like Milwaukee and Dane, there's going to be some on there that I will vote for, but I have no illusions. They're not going to be binding statewide. The one that is binding is the one on cash bail. Make up your own mind. You can vote for it or not vote for it. I'm not voting for it because I think it's a scam and it doesn't go far enough. They don't know the law. They don't know what they're doing. The gerrymandered Republican legislature is economically illiterate and they're legally illiterate. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I won't back down. No, I won't back
down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right back to the lines. Dawn of Wauwatosa, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dawn?
Hi, Matt. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to talk about the Vignago case, the case where Kelly recused himself and then unrecused himself. And then also if you'd be willing to talk about the appellate court race in the Milwaukee appellate branch.
Yeah, that'd be great, Dawn. Thank you. Yeah, on the Vignago case, I have not read the briefs and I have not read the record in that one. I know the Vignago family is a family, I believe they own a quarry. They own some construction and equipment and that kind of thing. And so, you know, they're a substantial family. And for whatever reason, I have no idea if they were suing, if they were being sued. I have no idea if it was a breach of contract or what it is. But I do know that in 2019, Kelly was on the court, not because he got elected, because Walker stuck him on there so he could have an interim appointment till he ran. And Kelly recused himself. I do not know the reason why he did recuse himself. My suspicion would be the Vignago family, I believe, has a reputation. I think they're fine business people. But they have a reputation socially and civically of being on the very conservative side of issues, especially social issues. And it may be that Kelly interacted with them or in some respect knew them. I do not know, but I know he recused himself. And this is no reflection on the Vignago family. They are a good business family. In 2020, he was running for election as a Supreme Court judge. And a number of the Vignago family members contributed to him roughly, I think exactly $20,000. $20,000 is the maximum that anybody could contribute. And I think it came in several chunks from different Vignagos. As a result, he unrecused himself, kind of in gratitude and to show gratitude for getting the money. That's on him. And I got to tell you something, Dawn. You absolutely cannot have a judge who changes his mind on a decision, in this case recusal, because he got money, and especially $20,000. Janet Protasiewicz has proposed a bar, a recusal bar for over a certain amount. Now, let me be blunt. A Supreme Court justice or any judge cannot go out and solicit money. That is unethical. So it's done through surrogates, which is ethical. Friends, supporters. So Janet Protasiewicz can't solicit money, and she hasn't. And I assume Kelly hasn't either. I don't know. But their friends can. People will contribute. $100, $250, $1,000. The question is, if you recuse yourself from every from any lawsuit where anybody contributed to you, the court couldn't function. So most people think, why don't we set a limit? If they contributed certainly $20,000, you recuse yourself. How about $10,000? How about $5,000? How about $1,000? My own view is that, you know, there's some people who are high net worth individuals, a couple of thousand, you don't recuse yourself, 20 you do. Before you take a position that you should recuse yourself for any contribution, you should know that everybody in the court takes contributions. So as long as you have an elected judiciary, that's going to be a problem. And the idea is set a limit, a bar. I will tell you that when the maximum permitted is $20,000, at the very least, you should recuse yourself for those kinds of contributions. And Kelly unrecused himself for money. As far as there is a court of appeals race in Wisconsin. I think there may be several, but there's one in Milwaukee. And there's one by the incumbent, Bill Brash. There's another one by a partner at the Goldberg firm. It's a labor firm. And frankly, they're both fine candidates. I do not know who's going to win that one. I'm not involved in that race. But I think they're both excellent candidates. Dawn, thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate it. I want to get in one non-call issue that are extremely important, Ukraine. There are 20,000 Ukrainian refugees here in the United States. If they go back to Ukraine, they'll be murdered, tortured, raped, or shot by the Ruskies. And their time has run out from what's called humanitarian parole. There's a special immigration status for people like them. It's called humanitarian parole. Biden has been pressured. I am pressuring him right now. I'm telling you right on here, Joe, extend their humanitarian parole. You cannot send these women, largely women, back to Ukraine to be raped by jihadists from Chechnya and perverts and sadists in the Wagner Group. Okay? It's as simple as that. Humanitarian parole, grant it to them. And to give you an idea of what they're running into over there, it's just been disclosed. Another guy died last week, strangled with a belt. He was an oligarch who had said he disagreed with Putin on strategy in Ukraine. People in our national security have said that Putin is running Murder Incorporated over there. Murder Incorporated, you may have heard the term, was a term in the 1930s where the mafia killed 1,000 people, murdered them, assassinated them in the 1930s in the United States. 100 a year. Putin has murdered over 40 people right now, maybe many more. He's certainly in Ukraine. But I'm talking about oligarchs, scientists, generals, people who are Ruskies, who are commie Ruskies, who are vicious themselves, who disagree with him. And a lot of them are thrown out of windows. And there's a saying in Russia now that don't go near an open window unless you're Putin's friend. This guy was strangled with a belt. He was strangled with a belt, for Pete's sake. Another guy, they announced this with a straight face. He died of asphyxiation as he was traveling in a car. That's because Luca Brasi or somebody in the back seat throws it around his throat and garrots him. Several were stabbed to death with their wives and daughters, two of them, one in Barcelona, one in Moscow, another one murdered coming down through Monaco from Switzerland to France. The man is a Hitlerian murderer on a large scale in Ukraine, but in his personal life. He was one of the leaders of the old KGB. They specialized in assassinations. They're murderers. They're animals. They're thieves, perverts, genocidal sadists. This is Putin. This is Russia. I was glad to see that Zelensky proposed that Russia be renamed Muscovy. That was its name in the 18th century on Asian and European maps. Putin got angry at that. Putin must be killed. I've said this before, said it now. If these characters are not incentivized when they're being bumped off one by one, we have got to make sure that the Ukrainians or someone else does it. We're going to the end of the show. It's a great show. Great calls as always. Matt Flynn, Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.